Wow, we're back to the Dave Isaacless show. It's kind of nice not having Dave here.
Don't start anything you can't finish, Craig Dean.
Anyway, this is the Entrepreneurial Spirit Show. I'm Craig Dean, and we're with Glenn, Beth, Doug, and Lance, and I think we're having a great conversation. I think a lot of people really don't understand the restaurant business or business in general, because most people aren't entrepreneurs and maybe have the desire, the drive to be an entrepreneur. I'd like to hear from everybody the pros and cons of being an entrepreneur. We'll start with you, Glenn, because might have a word or two to say.
Let me think about this one for a minute from my glorious days in the waste removal business. You know, I was just a little old garbage man out there running around picking up everybody's trash. But the comments I used to get, you know, that used to take me back, well, look at you. You've got all the sports cars. You've got a couple of homes. You've got this. You've got all this freedom. And I go, whoa, let's back up a little bit here. Let's talk about, yeah, maybe I do have a couple of cars. Maybe I have a second home up in the mountains. But the freedom part of it, the 24/7 grind, because we were on call 24/7.
Absolutely.
We provided emergency services. And that's the difference between, I believe, an entrepreneur and somebody that shows up, punches in, punches out, and leaves it all behind. It takes a much different person to understand that when you sign up for that detail, you must sign up, because you cannot inconvenience the customer. And then you need to transfer that message to those that work for you so that they understand that there's going to be those days when we run into these hiccups and we will do extra. And extra seems to be a word that's been pulled out of the dictionary, that we can't give that little bit of extra because, well, you know, I think we've been here long. You're never there long enough. So this is where I cut my teeth in a very tough industry, the trash business. And I'll tell you, I've never seen to this day people get more upset when their trash has not been picked up. I've had people, you know, want to square right up with you and you know, well, you don't understand.
I tell my wife the two happiest days of the week are Monday and Thursday because my trash gets picked up.
Your trash gets picked up.
Exactly.
You know, and again, I mean, you know, we quickly realized that it was important to, if you were not going to make it by to get the trash picked up, a phone call was required. And I watched my whole family being in the business for so many years, and as a kid, you know, having a chance to work in all the different family businesses, they were all service oriented, but they were all committed to customer service. And I think that when you're around that for so many years, and you get an opportunity to have your own business, and granted, I mean, I worked for a large trash company for a number of years, but all their inadequacies that really, you know, helped me when I started my business, I told myself, I will not let that happen to my customers. And so that was a little bit of how I looked at, you know, being an entrepreneur and what that commitment is.
Beth, what gets you up every morning? What's your definition of an entrepreneur? And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my team is who gets me up every morning. They motivate me. We've got a great family. And so everybody's willing to work and go that extra mile that he talked about. Extra is definitely in our mindset. And I think for there are either employee attitudes or you're an entrepreneur. And I don't really – it's very difficult to cross over. Mm-hmm. I've worked for myself since 1985. It would be very difficult for me to take on a job and work for somebody else.
You know, it's interesting. I always had heard the employee mentality,
yes,
thrown out and about. Never realized it till I got in my own business. I went, wow, that's what it means.
It's true. It would be nice to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, leave it there,
right,
walk away, have your whole weekend. But I just can't do it.
But I think you can be an employee and still have that entrepreneurial spirit where you really don't leave it there. I mean, I can remember times when employees were supposed to take their break like at 1:30 and would still be slammed. And you could always tell the difference between your employees. Some of them would, I don't care what's going on, they'd go sit down and have to eat right then. But another one would go, you know what, I'm just going to stay on that line for an extra 15 minutes, even if I get a little bit less of a break. And when it came time to hand out bonuses, I would remember those type of things.
Yes.
Well, we've all heard, you know, owners of companies saying that I've got a few people that treat this like it's their own company. Now, they're few and far between, but
yeah,
they're out there.
Yeah.
They really are. And those are the ones that we want to reward. Those are the ones that make the difference for the customers. We know we're not going to get those people all the time, but they're in organizations. There's no doubt about it.
Lance, do you help restaurants with that? how to hire employees that that have that spirit within them?
Yeah, it's key.
Yeah. How do you hire an employee?
You know, honestly, through a lot of experience, and I'm sure that you face this as well, the resume means less and less.
Absolutely.
The more experience that you have hiring employees in any business, I think, but especially in the restaurant business, experience becomes less and less important in your criteria. Who they are speaks so loudly that it doesn't matter what they've done. And, you know, people come in and just the way that they conduct themselves and that attitude is everything. It's the difference between success and failure, because it means that they're going to work harder. They're going to go the extra mile. They're not going to steal from you. They're going to, you know, make sure that the customer is taken care of no matter what. You know, it's little things like that. And, you know, generally when we take over a restaurant and they want us to literally take over, you know, we find that they've a lot of common hiring practices, you know, not to single out an industry. It happens in every one, but they hire their friends. And then they hire their customers, you know, their customer, their best
always
bar
the
customer.
Always the end of a friendship if you hire a friend. It'll kill it.
And you never want to hire the bar fly to be your bartender, you know, and you see that all the time, you know. And it's a great job for them.
Are you talking from experience?
Oh, we see it all the time, you know, and it's tough, especially in this industry. It's tough because, I shudder to say this, but it's true that unfortunately you have to turn over your management staff every couple of years. If something happens in this business, everybody becomes friends and they get so close tight, they stop managing their people and they start caring about, you know, their personal problems.
They become too familiar with ownership.
And it doesn't work, you know, and that's a horror. I hate to even say that because I care about people and I really do passionately care about people. But when it comes to this industry, man, you got to keep your finger on that pulse.
Well, it's that double-edged sword. It costs so much to train. And so you like people that are loyal, that are going to stay with you. However, the flip side of that is, you know, if you've had someone with you for 20 or 25 years, they've had a lot of raises during that 20 or 25 years. I had a busboy. This guy was amazing. Worked for me for 25 years. Never missed a day of work. Had 6 or 7 kids. Never even went to the births. Never asked for vacation. Would want to get his vacation pay. But as a busboy, he was making about $65,000 or $70,000 by the time I sold my restaurant. Well, I could have hired
That's the guy with the Bentley that was out front.
Right.
I remember that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I never had to train him. I mean, he showed up to work every single day. He knew exactly what he needed to do. But when times would get tough and your sales would go down, you start looking, man, I'm paying this guy this kind of money. But he's been with you for so long. It's hard to let them go.
Yeah, especially when they can be your eyes and ears. When you're not around, when you have somebody like that can be your eyes and ears. And, you know, I used to say when I owned my restaurants, the best part of owning restaurants were the people. And the worst part of owning restaurants were the people.
Yeah.
You know, they would just the people that you trusted and you put so much loyalty in, and next thing you know, you turn around and they've, you know, been doing you wrong for a while.
Here's another thing to think about, and Doug can certainly comment on this. How do you take a particular industry like hood and vent cleaning, because we talk about employees, where you're bringing people in at, you know, again, you're working at night.
Right.
You know, those that are at the restaurants are trying to get out, and you're trying to get in. And so, you know, Doug, how do you, with your organization, you know, take that to the next level, because I think it's so important in the way that you present, because I was impressed with the way Doug's crew presented themselves. They're very professional. But again, how do you go to find more people like the crew that you had a week ago Thursday?
It's a challenge, Glenn, because like you said, these guys have to work late at night a lot of times. And so there's a certain kind of person you have to look for. It's somebody that they don't need a lot of supervision. They like to be out there when things are quiet. They like to be in their little team and go do a job, and they get that sense of accomplishment from doing it well. So you have to try to seek those people out, and then you have to take care of them, you know, and that's part of the problem with the industry too, is more and more companies are moving towards percentages and limiting the hours they can be there, whether they get the job done or not. And it's a challenge to try to take care of these guys and still be competitive, you know. But
and what a great relief as a restaurant owner. If I had a new Hood and Vet company cleaning, I wouldn't go home. I would be with them the whole entire time.
Some of them are, yeah.
Yeah, making sure that they knew I was watching them. Yeah. But once you, and same even with the restaurant equipment repair. Because a lot of the repairs had to be done after you went home. And if you had someone that you could trust and go home knowing that a case of meat wasn't going to be stolen or this or that, what a utter relief that was.
What about if you had a group that you could trust?
There you go.
Which is so important because this is really the powerful part of what we've brought to this market, the message that we're bringing to the market. We know for a fact that if it's Doug or Beth or Lance or any of, you know, our service provider, you know, we got other service providers that are out there working with these customers, the message is the same. And that's so important because they believe that, you know, we've brought the right people in to get the job done. Because we've seen managers at restaurants waiting for the Hood and Vents to be finished. You know, and I know that if a guy came in and said, hey, you know, well, we're having a little problem up there. We're not going to be able to hit. The guy's like, oh, great. Whatever. Let's get out of here. I've already got my half a day in. So, you know, I look at as a group, we're sending the same message. I think that's a real important part of it.
Beth, do you know how to make the repairs yourself?
I do not.
How do you?
I do not. I made sure that I hired people who are very competent, very skilled.
Do you have a partner in this business?
I do. We just merged with the company that he had was called Desert Temp Refrigeration. And so now he's working with me, and we're Five Star Solutions, DT.
All right.
But Beth knows parts. I've seen her just get out in Tucson. I'll be back. And away she goes. And that's, you know, an important part of the team.
Absolutely.
That why the crews are working, they know that there's a system in place to go get what we need to get this job done. To troubleshoot, you know, a filter was not right. I mean, we were on a job that day and, you know, the filters needed to be changed. We needed something this. We needed a little oddball part. And these are the things that Beth has within her organization. Now, how do I know this? Because I'm really kind of an ops guy from chasing trash trucks for all those years, Craig.
That's right.
And that's what
I'm
looking
for. And you never sleep.
Yeah, and we didn't have a lot of chance for mistakes, but the goal was to keep those trucks running to get the trash picked up. And it's so interesting that when you look at an industry like that and what you can take from that, just watching Beth and how she operates her organization, what Doug is doing with Hoods, what Lance is doing, you know, these are the ingredients that we need to get the job done. This way, as we come and present as a group, there's so much additional strength and value that's delivered for the customer. It's important.
Oh, it's extremely important. And Lance, you want to talk a little bit about Guillermo, who you partner with, and what Guillermo does and can bring to the table?
Yeah, outside of my my wife and my children, Guillermo is my favorite human being. He's my business partner, and I know it's very rare to hear, you know, partners talk about one another.
Oh,
like
absolutely,
that.
Yeah.
He's an amazing guy. He's incredibly smart. Mexican-American gentleman. We met at one of our clients. I was doing handling the marketing and training for a client, and he was developing a new menu for them. And we met on site, hit it off immediately, mostly because we had personal value systems that were aligned. He had young children, so did I. He was very devoted to his family and to his wife, and as was I. So we hit it off on a personal level when we started the business. Those things really help build, you know, the foundation of our company. Now I handle, we've since kind of subdivided the company up into two different divisions just so that there's no confusion with the clients. Grupo Patron handles a lot of tax settlement issues, and for any company, not just restaurants, but any company that has state or federal tax issues.
And did Guillermo kind of stumble onto that, or was it?
We did. We every client was in trouble, and you know, who do I go to? Where do I go? And so we just decided, okay, well, let's go figure it out, and went to the Department of Revenue, made friends with people down there by solving their problems. I mean, here's the real quick. I'll digress. Here's the issue with taxes: the person owes the taxes. The Department of Revenue needs to get the taxes,
right? Yeah,
and they don't communicate well. And so we found a niche by developing those relationships where we can go in and actually mediate that process. And the restaurateur, it's much better for the business owner because it's a scary thing.
Right,
and we can
yeah.
avoid the pain there and actually solve the problem. And it's great for the Department of Revenue because they know that we're not going to negotiate a deal that the business owner can't fulfill.
Right, yeah.
So we did. We stumbled onto it. It's about 60% of our business this year.
Wow.
Is settling taxes for companies, handling leases for companies.
So this
companies
becomes
well.
Like found money for the Arizona Department of Revenue.
Because no
most,
doubt.
Most of these people probably wouldn't pay a penny.
They wouldn't. And you know, I joke a little bit, but, you know, Guillermo and I say that we're an international company because we've had clients flee to Italy, flee to Germany, flee to Spain, not getting flee to Mexico.
Wow.
They call us and ask us to help them. And, you know, once we, you know, kind of put all the cards out on the table, they say, no, never mind. I'm going home. And they bail. Because it is. It's a scary thing. They will throw you in jail. They don't mess around down there. You know.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
and they, well, they're not polite. And they,
well, there's the fear factor.
They drop
well,
F-bombs.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
it's a scary place
yeah.
to go.
Yeah.
And then we started Food Biz Today, which is a social media marketing firm specifically for restaurants. Recently, mm-hmm. We've done seminars and workshops all around the southwestern United States, and we actually started a school called Smart AZ. It stands for Social Media and Advanced Restaurant Training. And we conduct those at our office at Westgate every week, every Tuesday from 2 to 5. They start up again June 21st. And we invite business owners, restaurateurs to come to our office, and we train them. Yeah, hands-on, you know, here's what you do, and this is why it works. Now let's do it. And they bring their own laptop, and we actually work on Facebook and Twitter and email marketing and text message marketing and internet marketing and learn how to monetize things like Groupon and Living Social. And whereas most companies, you know, they throw it out there and hope it sticks, and next thing you know, they're in debt, and they wonder what went wrong and why it didn't work. So, you know, that's how the company has been divided up, and it's nice because when a marketing client needs help, I can recommend Guillermo just like I recommend the folks at this table and vice versa. And he's an amazing, amazing human being and a really, really good guy, one of the hardest working people I've ever met. I'm blessed
and
to have
a lot of restaurant experience himself up in Seattle.
He owned three of the largest restaurants. In fact, one of his restaurants was the largest grossing restaurant at the time in downtown Seattle. So
wow.
he's seen his share of the headaches. He knows what restaurateurs go through.
Do we have any statistics? Does anybody know what percentage of restaurants have gone out of business in the last 5 or 6 years because of the economy?
I know that in the first quarter of 2010, more restaurants went out of business in Arizona than all of 2009 combined.
Wow.
And we were on pace to do that again this quarter. I think it's going to be a rough summer. And really to break it down, it comes there's just a few simple things. The biggest one is the lease. You know, most folks signed a lease in 2002 through 2007 when the economy was ramping up,
right.
and everything was overinflated, especially real estate, which transferred to leases. Landlords got this false sense that their property was worth a lot, and so clients are paying $35-$40 a square foot. And now the going rate is somewhere between 10 and 20. That's a
wow.
huge swing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
and they're going out of business because the mm-hmm. landlord won't negotiate.
Yeah.
We step in and we know what to say, what not to say, how to handle it and get the landlord to be reasonable and solve those issues. We've been very successful at renegotiating leases.
What do you say?
It's going to cost you.
Right. And the beautiful part of that is it's going to cost you in a way that's going to straighten out the mm-hmm. problem instead of what you've done with the way that you've proceeded, which is now costing you dearly by neglecting the equipment that
right.
Beth has to come in and repair, the hood and vents that Doug sees that you know haven't been cleaned for 6 to 9 months, and then all of a sudden, heaven help us, if there's a fire in the establishment or something else may happen, because you do pay for this eventually. So everything costs.
And it all fits together. There's not one solution. You have to fix all of it. And it's overwhelming. And it's so easy to blow off your hoods and to blow off your equipment until it's too late. And
right.
then it's
right.
this massive problem.
The point of no return almost.
That next
yeah.
thing
well,
you know, you're looking for hard money
yeah.
to fix your equipment.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, Beth's organization, you know, has to take a look at, you know, giving somebody this great news. Well, by the way. you know, we have a preventive maintenance program available, which you know, kind of checked off the list a couple of years ago. And here's the great news I have to tell you. this, 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 and this. And we could have spent a little bit each month, but we get into this cost savings mode and we just eliminate. No matter what Beth says or what Doug may say, or maybe Glenn comes in and, you know, tries to forecast a little bit, this will come back to bite you. And if Lance has gone international because he knows they're just boogieing out of state,
right,
it doesn't remove the fact that whoever takes over this restaurant and tries to reopen it will be saddled with the same group of problems that somebody left behind.
Well, you just hit the nail right on the head. You know, if people abandon their restaurant and the landlord wants someone to take it over, just the amount of capital improvements are astronomical.
Well, you know, that you bring up a huge opportunity. I read a book. A friend of mine kind of foresaw this coming. He gave me a book on how to survive the next Great Depression. It's a very morbid title, but I read it. And the crux of the book was, in every downturn, there's a huge opportunity, mm-hmm. and you just need to find it.
Absolutely.
And right now, one of the things that we're doing is finding great operators that either had a bad lease and went out of business or got in tax trouble and were forced out. But they know the business very well, and there are all these restaurants out there that were vacated either, you know, because they went to Germany or the landlord locked them out, that are they're built out, they're equipped, they're ready to rock, and we found funding partners to put those people together. And we go in with the landlord and say, hey, look, we're going to fund it. We're going to provide the marketing for it. We're going to provide all the training. And here's the operator we're bringing to the table. However, you need to give them an incredibly aggressive lease. And we've been very successful at putting that together. So that's been a huge focus for us. And it solves a lot of problems. It puts people back to work.
Absolutely does.
It gets an entrepreneur back in the game that has the spirit and the drive. They just were undercapitalized or whatever the problem
was. Well, we also go to the next level, and Lance and Guillermo are now in a situation where, because we've got a new operator in basically a turnkey, we're able to bring the proper services in to get this restaurant back to a level that it needs to be, as near new or close to it. Mm-hmm. And then from that point, you know, the customer realizes that the way they were doing business before is so much different than the way we're doing business today. And that's huge. And that's where the services and the co-op type of philosophy that we have really, really helps out a lot.
And it's interesting, too, is when you drive around the city, you know, when you look at these strip malls that maybe have 10 or 12 retail operations in and there's two left.
Yeah.
How long is it going to be before the other two are out of business, too? Because there's no synergy taking place in those strip malls at all. Well,
they've lost the traffic. They've lost the camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, someone's in picking something up. They're like, hey, you know, I'll walk next door and see what these guys have got.
Right, yeah.
If you're just not getting that, it's only a matter of time before the next, you know, and as a property owner, you've got to have some revenue. You must. Either that or you're going to let this thing go by the wayside.
Does anybody here see a light at the end of the tunnel? How about you, Doug? Are you seeing a light?
I sure hope so. I think so. I mean, you know, it's the United States. I think if we kind of go back to our core beliefs and the roots of our founding, people will pull together and, mm-hmm. and make this thing happen. So,
it might
have to get worse first. I don't know, but we'll see.
9 years as a Marine officer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you take that into your business? What did the Marines teach you?
Well, it's kind of funny. We talked about all these things. You know, you got to take it home with you at night and. You know, you don't leave the job when you go home. It's always something that bears on you. Like, when you're a Marine, It's not your job. That's what you are.
It's in your blood.
It's kind of the same way being a business owner. You know, it's part of you, and you can't turn it off. You know, so it's real similar. The supervision, you know, and the accountability is huge.
Your discipline.
Discipline, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I think it makes you a great leader also. You know, I hear that from those that are on my team. You know, and I'm just being Glenn. I mean, I just do what I do. I follow up. I put people together. We make things happen. But everybody wants to look for leadership, and it's so important. And when you look at a business that Doug has where there's a lot of variables, they need a strong leader to transfer, you know, those values when they're either up on the roof. I mean, something simple as climbing the ladder up to the roof. I mean, carrying up all this equipment. And there's certain things that need to be demonstrated.
Mm-hmm.
Beth struggles and has those areas of concern. I mean, they're working with natural gas. They're working with spark. I mean, enough to knock somebody across the room. So leadership is very, very important. And I would imagine that You know, what Doug had brought up before, you know, you just don't know any other way. You know, this is who I am. You know, I'm a Marine. That's what I do. And so transferring that, you know, to that, to putting that hat on as the owner of a business, I really think it gives, you know, everybody a better understanding of what it takes to suit up and get the job done every day.
Did you have trouble with the transition from the military coming back into civilian life?
I don't feel like I did. Maybe people looked at me a little odd because of the way I'd act, but no, no, I think it was
9 years.
Was
you're right. Kind of caught in between. Do you stay on for the 20 years? Or
exactly.
What made you get out?
You know, I flew jets in the Marine Corps, and you kind of get to a point there where as you start to get more senior, they start to want you to fly less and less.
Oh,
you know,
really?
And start flying that desk. So you get to that point where they want to throw some more money at you to stay, and you have to make that choice. Do I stay?
What kind of jets did you fly?
F-18s. So they try to tie you down with the golden handcuffs, and you have to make that choice. Like, what am I going to do? You know, am I going to go for the American dream and get out of this thing and try to be an entrepreneur, or am I going to stay and do that?
A lot of people in the military that fly jets, it seems like they transition to commercial aircraft or something of that sort. You've totally left flying?
Well, I was like I was kind of like Goose. You know, I was what they call the weapons and sensors officer, so I was in the back doing the navigation and communication and, you know, weapons kind of stuff. So they don't take you to Southwest with that, you know. So so you're kind of on your own with that, and that doesn't really translate into anything in the civilian world either, except for what you learn about being, you know, a leader and a manager and that kind of thing.
And so. Where are you from? Where were you raised?
From New Jersey, actually.
From Jersey. Yeah.
Another New Jersey. Here's another.
There's another one there.
Another New Jersey connection.
Lance, where are you from?
Salt Lake City, Utah.
Salt Lake City, Beth?
I grew up here.
A Phoenician.
Pretty much.
Where'd you go to high school?
Moon Valley.
Oh, my God.
What, another one of our favorite places,
exactly,
huh, Craig?
Exactly. I love Moon Valley neighborhood is a fantastic neighborhood. And do we need to take a little break here? Okay, let's take a little break here, and we'll come back, and we'll speak a little bit about Moon Valley.
Absolutely.
I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use in real time with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
At Beerham Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Welcome back to the Dave Isaac Show. I'm Craig Dean, and the show today is The Entrepreneurial Spirit, and we have incredible guests on the show. And I always like to get to know the guests a little more in a not an intimate way, but I like to find out what their background is and what makes them who they are. Beth,
yes.
Grew up in Phoenix.
I did.
What year did you grow up in Phoenix?
What year?
Uh-huh.
Many years. It's still going.
My whole life.
And you went to high school at Moon Valley?
I did.
What year did you graduate?
1978.
78. I'm just trying to figure out a couple of things here.
Give us your social security check. You're going to get it in another month. Come on, Craig Dean.
That's right. This fall, I started social security. Never thought that would ever happen. Yeah, don't say congratulations. I don't know if I should be congratulated on that. As a woman business owner,
yes.
What are the hurdles you've had to jump?
Well, in this industry, it's basically a man's world.
Right.
So there are positives and negatives. Some people are very excited about the fact that you've got the feminine side to this.
Yeah.
A lot are skeptical. But when they meet my team and they see how wonderful they are and how knowledgeable and skilled, then they're on board. But Marty, my assistant, a female, she and I are a great team, and so we offer that other side to the business.
You know, Glenn has feminine skills, too, I'd like to hear about.
My ponytail?
Yes, right. Lance.
I just forgot what I was... You're just like Dave. Oops, I should not have said that one.
Exactly. What's going to keep you going in this business, and what gets you up every single morning?
You know, I'm unlike Beth. I've always owned my own businesses, and I wouldn't know what to do as an employee. I'll be honest, I was a horrible employee in that, not that I didn't work hard, but because I always wanted to do it my way, and I always saw a better way to do it, and I just wanted to start today. I was not good at bureaucracy and voting, and, you know, businesses are... to a certain extent, there's a dictatorship. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And there's a lot of pros and cons to being an entrepreneur. You know, you get to set your own schedule. But one of my favorite sayings is, you know, entrepreneurs get to work half days, and a day is 24 hours, and so you work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, it's a family business. I can include my family in my business, and there's some advantages there. But then you also miss things, you know, because you're working and you're obligated to certain things. So there are a lot of pros and cons to it, but I would have it no other way. I really love what I'm doing, and I'm very passionate about what I'm doing. We really do get to see on a daily basis the results of what we do. You know, when you save a business, and especially a restaurant business, where it affects so many people, it's not the owner that gets affected alone. You know, it's the manager and the chef and all of the employees and all of the vendors and all of the service providers. They all get affected when a restaurant goes down. And so many times we get there right when they're at the brink,
right,
or even beyond the brink. And to be able to save them and pull them back from the brink and actually make them profitable and understand how many people would have potentially lost their homes had the business gone out, it's very gratifying. You know, I mean, I'm a capitalist, so I like being profitable, but I also love doing something on a daily basis that makes me feel good, and you know, you get to see the benefit.
Is that kind of why you wanted to start Infinite Green Resources?
Well, yeah, there was a couple of reasons behind that. The first part of it was that I had always been in the service side of the business. And then I moved into the product side, and I found disappointment. I'll be honest with everybody. I was just like stumped. And I was just sitting there one night and I was like, what in the world am I missing here? There's got to be something, some common denominator that's just, you know, the light bulb hasn't gone off upstairs yet. And then boom, there it was. I've got to be able to get into an organization and find out where they're having a struggle before trying to come in and talk to them about this new greatest product. And I need to just change my delivery system. And I believe that when, like Lance had just said, when you can impact an organization, like if I can show somebody how using Doug at Hood's or using Beth is going to impact their bottom line, they look at me and they're like, well, how could that possibly be true? Well, if Doug shows you know, the value in using the correct products, procedures, you know, the way that he presents, the fact that, you know, he gives you a more of a warm and fuzzy feeling and takes his industry to another level, it's going to impact your bottom line. The same with Beth. If she stresses a preventive maintenance program to you and lets you know that, yeah, it's a little bit more money right now monthly or quarterly, but it's not going to prepare you for that big whack you're going to take in 2 years. This is the gratifying side the gratification that comes along with, wow, I was able to get in with that customer and make a difference. Lance makes reference to usually they're past that point. Mm-hmm. And to bring them back and to look at where and who would have been impacted, you know, from the vendor, supplier, I mean, right on down, you know, the 9 employees who were going to lose their home. This is what we looked at Infinite Green. It became more than just a wonderful product. It became how can we better connect with the customer, and that was through services. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key. That's why we're all here today. We do all provide services. I just happen to have a wonderful product that goes along with all these services, and that's where we were able to make that connection. So it was really, I was in the right place at the right time. But it took me 18 months mm-hmm. and a lot of money to make an awful lot of mistakes to understand that somebody didn't get my wonderful products, but they did communicate to me that they were disappointed with a lot of the services that were being provided. But a lot of the disappointment was because of the choices they made or helping customers make better choices.
You know, I look back at the number of years I had the restaurant. I think the most gratifying thing for me was, you know, you have to motivate yourself. You know, when you have the same restaurant going to the same location, serving the same food with a lot of the same customers, every morning when you wake up and look in that mirror.
Got to make the donuts.
Yeah, exactly. You have to convince that person that you're looking at that this is going to be a good day.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's probably what I'm proudest of is I was able to go to work every single day with a smile on my face.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's things like I had a customer come up to me one time and tell me, your guys really love you. I said, okay. No, Glenn. Your guys really love – they think that you're unbelievable. And I'm just like, okay. You know, we're doing what we need to do to make sure that we're taking – and then you quickly realize that there's a huge difference in the way that we take care of our team. And this is something that I was very curious to find. And, you know, I was searching, again, in a tough economy – are there those individuals that will present well?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lance and Guillermo, they certainly have hit that one. Okay, they're putting that one right out of the ballpark. And then coming in and having an opportunity to look at what Doug is doing with Hood's and what Beth is doing with Five Star, you know, I know for a fact that we'll continue to find those entrepreneurs that have made it their mission statement and are committed to getting the right people to carry that message. It's out there. And this is how we're going to recover from this. We need to transfer that enthusiasm to those customers that we come to do business with.
And there's nothing greater than talking about someone else other than yourself.
Well, I learned that from Lance. And let me tell you, don't ever think for a minute that you don't have an opportunity in business to learn something new. Because I was at a lunch one day, Craig, you were there,
mm-hmm.
and I listened to Lance talk about that, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This is something that really is going to – and I went out and tried it that very afternoon. And I think I called you, Lance, and I told you. I go, man, this really works.
It does.
But again, you know, it's a little bit different if I tell, again, somebody, you know, that we've got an answer for this particular struggle. We have a solution. And if you think about it, it's about creating – you know, and freeing up a little bit of time. Lance jokes, and we talk about this half day, and I figured that one out in the trash business. 1 to 1, 2 to 2, 3 to 3, 5 to 5, it was still a half a day. You got your 12 hours in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you catch, you know, a business owner, especially in the hospitality side of the business, they are worn out. And to know that they're going to have to stay for the hood and vent cleaning or to have somebody come in and fix a stove or the air conditioning unit just might not be ready to go for the next morning, these are things that they really struggle with, and their patience is worn mm-hmm. thin. It would be very reminiscent of what we saw at a restaurant last week when we could not get any participation from the manager.
No, that was amazing. That manager could have cared less. Yes.
It was just not on their screen. It was just and these are things that if an organization is going to change, they need to take a look at the refresh mode. That button, they need to push that refresh, and then they need to bring their team in to understand that there's a new team coming in to assist. And once they hear that, it's not like we're telling you that you've screwed everything up, but you just need a little bit of help.
But you know,
you need a little bit of help. That's it.
That's a very interesting point, because you look at this team. How do you go to a restaurateur and very gently say,
and by the way,
you have some problems going on here, without insulting them, you know, forcing them to lose their credibility or slapping them in the face? Lance.
You know what? Actually, that goes back to what Glenn was saying, is that one of the most important things that I learned in business was develop relationships with people, but don't ask them for anything. Find out how you can help them. Be sincere about it and leave your stuff out. Your stuff will come. It's just the natural way of things. And if I go into a restaurant and I am talking to a restaurant owner and I tell them that their marketing is a mess and that everything they're doing is wrong, I've lost all my credibility and they don't want to hear that.
No,
their ego is as big as they get. But if I go in and I say, hey, look, you know what? You're going to have a fire. And let me tell you the impact of that. Once your insurance company comes in and finds out that you haven't been taking care of your hoods, you need to call my friend Doug. Doug will take care of you. I have a couple of franchise owners here locally, and I'm not going to mention names, but I've never asked them for a thing. One owns 5 of a huge chain. Another owns 14. Another owns 28 locations here in the Valley. And I've introduced my friends to these folks. I've brought Glenn to meetings to introduce them to, hey, you need to hear what my friend Glenn has to offer. It's going to save your business. I've never, ever once asked them for a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've never, ever offered my services to them. How can I help you? But I don't want to sell to you. Those people have sent me more clients. So it's an indirect thing. You know, the owner of a major chain isn't in trouble with their taxes, but they know a lot of other business people. And they, when they hear somebody that's in trouble, they say, you need to call my friend Lance. So it comes back in a funny way, but it's the indirect approach is so much more sincere, and it works.
And you build a relationship by doing that.
And I don't know how many times Glenn could have cold called this gentleman to get a meeting and been rejected because he's another cleaning company, product, green. I mean, let's go down the line. Oh, yeah. He's getting a million calls.
Right,
but I made one phone call and say, hey, I want you to
meet this guy.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't ask if I didn't think it would help you, but you need to meet this guy. And it went really, really well,
you know,
because it was a warm recommendation.
And it does. And the other thing that we really do is that we're not there to sell you anything. Okay. We're good listeners at that point. And if somebody is really happy with what they've got going on, they're eventually going to talk about something that's a sore spot. And if that happens to come up and I happen to know somebody that I can do exactly the same as what Lance provided, you know, for that opportunity to get the meeting put together, I'm like, and by the way, I'm going to tell you about my buddy who can help you with this. And then the other thing that we always look at is we just want to give you an opportunity to take a test drive. Listen, we all know you just don't look at the TV and go, I think I want that car that, you know, I just plug in at night and I can just go drive it. And then you go drive it and you're like, I really don't like this. So we call, you know, we like to give everybody an opportunity to take a test drive. And we're finding unbelievable success with that. That's important.
One of the greatest things I learned was from one of my purveyors. And I'll mention it's ProClean.
Yeah.
Rich Shiat, who is the owner of ProClean, was a good customer of mine. He must have come up to me 10 or 12 times and say, Craig, best pastrami sandwich I ever had in my life.
How was the brisket?
And we built a relationship. I didn't even know what he did. I would see Rich come in, and he was this very gregarious, outgoing guy. We would talk. My stepson was a professional golfer on the PGA Tour. He'd ask a million questions. After about 10 or 12 times, he'd say, by the way, are you happy with your dish machine company? I would say, why do you ask? He'd say, because that's the business I'm in. He had so much credibility then, and at that time I was having trouble. Rich took over, and for 25 years I used ProClean. In fact, ProClean is still with the Miracle Mile restaurants, all because Rich came in and got to know me first.
Yeah, and that's a great example of a company, too, that's had such a presence here in the Valley, you know, with a leader like Rich, and they've joined Infinite Green Resources. And again, in understanding that they have X amount of customers that are looking for help, and what a great way for us through ProClean and their relationships to show their customers other ways that we can impact the bottom line.
And I think Mark totally believes that's how Rich was successful, and he still to this day is in awe of him, how he could do that.
Yeah, but just think about it. If you've got 8 to 10 other people out there every day with your customers promoting and bringing you additional resources, the customer looks at it. I always look at when it comes to a tough time in the marketplace. Everybody comes to you and says, you need to cut your costs. I need a better price. And you get to the point where you go, well, I'm at the point where I should just be giving it to you.
Right.
I've exhausted all of my profit margin. However, I'm going to hold my prices firm here for a year. But I'd like to make some suggestions of some companies that we're working with right now that can also impact your bottom line. So it's taken off of the pail of soap, and it's put over to other areas where there might be a little bit more room, little wiggle room to play with. Now the customer looks at we'll just use ProClean as an example. They look at ProClean, and they're like, wow, thank you. Wow, that was really – and that's a retention tool that you cannot put a price on.
Right.
It takes you off of your product and constantly lowering your prices to moving it over to somebody else that can help and assist the customer.
Well, you're much more than a product. You're a service.
Same
thing is when you're doing repairs and you're in a kitchen. I mean, how great if I totally trust your company and I come back to work the next day and that stove is cleaner now than when I left you working on it. I mean, that says everything.
Well, here's a quick story with one of Beth's guys, Mike, and this was hilarious. I mean, you know, Mike's a great guy, but he's a veteran, so he is not going to be easily influenced. He's made up his mind. He knows what works and so on and so forth. Well, I left a little sample of a product, Grease Buster, just
GB.
GB, baby, so he could clean up around the stove. So I ran into Mike at Indulge Burger about a week and a half later. He comes right up to me, Glenn. I got to tell you, you just can't believe, you know. I was like, is this the same guy? But again, it was. And these are the same things that we can find through, you know, if it's an employee of Beth's, an employee of Doug's, someone that Lance can you know, get everybody involved with, they start to carry the same message. Hey, by the way, you know, there is something out there that can cut your labor. Now, all of a sudden, somebody's like, cut my labor. Well, we know darn well that if we show you a few of our techniques and we let you or we ask you to get involved in the training side of it, we can show you how to reduce labor by 20%. That's a huge area in the restaurant business, labor.
And it's the whole team concept. When Doug is in cleaning hood and vents, and if he knows this is the condition of an oven or here's something, he calls Beth.
Right.
Beth is in there cleaning an oven, looks up to the hood and sees grease dripping out of it. She can call Doug. I mean, this whole team concept.
She goes, that looks like Doug. I mean, I should call Doug.
That's right.
And Lance is the same way. He goes into the restaurants and does training and so on and so forth. He sees hoods and vents all the time. He hears air conditioning, short cycling. He sees the spots on the dishware, whatever.
And what we've tried to do with this is, again, because we know that the most important part of being something to that customer is follow-up. Mm-hmm. If the follow-up is not in place, we all look silly, okay? So what we've done is we've taken the time to put a program together where you call into one number, you've got a card or you've got a little trifold, and you pass it out, just like what I do with Lance. I take that time to furnish them with the phone number. Give Lance a call.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've taken that time now to put those systems in place where we have a central point of contact. And then it brings the follow-up, and then we eliminate failure. Because it was like, oh, I knew I was supposed to get over there yesterday, but I forgot. It takes that part of it out. And this is where we experience failure time and time again. Somebody calls you back and says, hey, I thought you were going to have that guy come by, and I haven't seen him. Because that's the first test if you're going to even get close to doing business with that organization, is if you meet the follow-up criteria.
Credibility.
Credibility.
You know, a well-oiled machine runs extremely well.
But think about what this group sees collectively as we walk into an establishment. Craig, I mean, I know how we operate when it comes to looking
at all the
little different
the
things that we're looking
God,
for.
Yeah.
Immediately we go, oh, well, you know, they need to talk to Lance about this. Oh, boy, we got to, you know, we got Doug with hoods. Oh, there's the stove. What's wrong with that stove? Well, we're having trouble. We can't get a part. Oh, I know who can get the part. You know, so next thing you know, we are able to put some things together and make a difference for the customer.
I mean, I love walking into a restaurant kitchen. You know within 5 minutes if this place is making a profit or how well it's run. I mean, you just – first thing I do is go open a couple drawers and see what's going on in there. And
we've been out on some hunts lately. It's been fun.
Exactly. It's very exciting. This is why this whole business really excites me. You know, it's interesting. When I sold my restaurant, I went, I'll never do anything with a restaurant again. And now I'm back into it, and it's so exciting.
Got hooked up with Green Glen, and I've we're having a good time. And business should be fun.
Absolutely,
I mean, that transfers to your customer because they're just like, I know what you're thinking. I'm a little crazy. I have that look about me. But I do have fun, and I bring value. And that's the most important thing to getting something turned around.
Well, if we're going to be in this, let's be the best we can be.
Be the best.
The best you can be. Because if you are giving everything you have and you go with the attitude, I don't care if I'm a burger flipper. I'm going to be the best burger flipper in the world. You feel so much better about yourself. Become much more productive. Is that kind of a message you end up giving to the to your restaurateurs and businesses?
You know what, my hero in business, Joe Johnston. He founded the Coffee Plantation here, Joe's Barbecue in Gilbert. He now owns a city. I didn't know that a person could start a city, but he owns Agritopia out in the East Valley. He taught me that in business, you either need to be the best or the cheapest, but most people end up in the middle. And they try to be the cheapest and the best at the same time, and it doesn't work. And we try to point that out to our restaurants as well. Like, look, don't play in the middle. You know, you need to set yourself apart from everyone else by having the best value, not necessarily the cheapest, but the best value, or being the absolute best at whatever you do. And most of them, you know, restaurants don't fail because of the food. You know that.
Right, yeah.
They fail because of the service and because they stop focusing on the details, and that's when they start to fall apart.
There's probably no more finicky business than the restaurant business. It's kind of like as a kid, your meal times were so important. That's where you share. That's where you get to know each other. The same thing as when you go to a restaurant. People are excited to go out and eat. You know, food has so many values and so many feelings behind it. And when you go to a restaurant and can sit down and have a great meal with a great experience, it makes your day.
I'm telling you, I've said this many, many times, and I know it sounds like I'm overstating it, but if you want to turn an economy around, help restaurants, because they employ so many people. I think it's the third largest employer in the United States is the restaurant industry, and we're treated horribly in government. There's no support from the federal or state government for the restaurant industry, but all of these other industries get so much support. It's overwhelming, and in some cases, you know, it's sickening how much support they get. And the restaurant industry gets so little support, but it impacts everybody. Everybody eats.
Absolutely.
And you're right. The experience of going out to eat is where families bond. It's where people become friends. It's where relationships and business develop and grow. And, you know, if you save the restaurant industry, you save a ton of jobs. It sounds like I'm overstating it, but I'm very passionate about it.
But you aren't. I mean, everybody has their favorite restaurant. And when you know you're going to go there tonight,
it'll be special.
It will be. You think about it all day long.
Yeah, and generally, if you're going to meet people, you'll have your ABC list, and this is where we're going to meet.
We just have a couple minutes left. Let's go around the room, give your name, your website, your phone number, anything, vital statistics, what year you were born, anything you want to do to tell about your business and so the listeners can hear about it.
I'll keep it simple. My partner, Guillermo, if you have any tax issues or know anyone who has tax issues or issues with your lease, please call Guillermo. This is his cell phone. He'll be thrilled that I did this. 602-501-2028. And I handle all of the marketing and social media for any business, not just restaurants. And again, my name is Lance Reynolds with Food Biz Today. And my cell phone number is 480-233-8405.
Fast!
Doug with Hoods. We're at 480-264-6344. Hoods.us.com.
That's
Beth Yates, Five Star Solutions, 602-648-1642.
Glenn with Infinite Green Resources. That's Glenn with Infinite Green Resources. Glenn at infinitegreenresources.com.
Glenn Stutters.
Or you can reach me at 602-540-8720.
Or dial 1-800-FUZZY-HAIR.
Or dial 1-800-GLENN at Infinite Green Resources. Craig Dean, it was a pleasure.
This has been a lot of fun. Thank you, everybody, for being on the show. And
yes.
Let's go out and conquer the world.
Lance, thank you. Doug, Beth, thank
Thanks,
you so
everybody.
Much.
Thanks.